was in the smallest little town in county, what was it? I think Kerry. They say it with a much finer lilt than I can give to it. In County Kerry. And the whole town was thatched roofs. The only place that had electricity was this factory. There wasn't an automobile in town. Everything was carts and horses, etc. And the place, you'll excuse me, it stank. You just, you know, there was no paved sidewalk. When it rained, it was muddy. So you cannot say that, you know, that's a matter of religion. But when you see the conditions that people live under, so then that becomes the condition. The fact that the conditions of Jewish life in the Austro-Hungarian Empire, and especially in Presburg, were not that way, gave Orthodoxy a tremendous defense because of the fact that the ills of the other society could not be blamed upon them. He had a great Talmud, Rabbi Moshe Sofer, aside from his son. His son, by the way, when his son was 7 years old, his son was deathly ill, the Ksav Sofer. So the famous legend, and again I tell you always, legends are so important because they characterize people and events. So the Rebbetzin ran into her husband, to the Ksav Sofer, and she said, "Don't you see that our child is dying? And you at least pray for him." So the Ksav Sofer got up and he went into his, all the Rabbonim had like their little room, that private room, Besdin room, it's, and he went in there. And he was there for 15, 20 minutes and he came out and he told her, he said, "Ich hab euch gebeten 50 Jahr." And the Ksav Sofer died on his 57th birthday. That's the legend, that he died on his 57th birthday, is that's the fact. But again, that's who you're dealing with. When you talk about the Ksav Sofer, that's what you're talking about. Right. And he was that kind of a power. When he died, his son, this the Ksav Sofer, became the Rav and the Rosh Yeshiva. And that's the Schreiber dynasty, which exists. There are many, many descendants of the Ksav Sofer's family all over the world today. And the Ehrenfelds, the Mattersdorfer, all of them, they're his sons-in-law. It's a very, very large, well-known, great aristocratic family. But the Ksav Sofer had a Talmud, Rav Moshe Shik, the Maram Shik, who was the Rav in Chust in Hungary, and he was one of the great Rabbonim. But the Maram Shik, under the advice of the Ksav Sofer, the Maram Shik spoke from the pulpit in German, because that's how he beat reform in his town. And he beat it. I mean, the Reform Temple was hardly populated. And he was such a great Talmud Chacham and such a great person that when he died, so they said on him in the paraphrase, Mimoshe ad Moshe lokom kemoshe, from the Moshe, the Ksav Sofer, to the Moshe, Moshe Shik, the Maram Shik, there was nobody like it. It was the Talmud Muvik of the Ksav Sofer. They have another great legend that they tell about him, is that once the Ksav Sofer came to Chus to visit him. That's another thing. The Ksav Sofer made the circuit of all the towns where his Talmidim were the rabbis. It was a remarkable to strengthen them and to fight their battle and many times to put the congregation in its place. And so he came to Chus. So the Rav Moshe Shik, the Maram Shik, as a present, as a gift to his Rebbe, so he wanted to give him a gold watch. And the Ksav Sofer refused to accept it. So the Ksav Sofer told him in a joke, he said, "We have seen two historic events here today, a rabbi giving a present and a rabbi refusing a present." There grew up a folklore about the Ksav Sofer and about his family that they were it. When you spoke about Oberland,